Welcome back, everybody. This is Sight to the Blind. I have a special guest. We both been following, but I'm catching up on her lifestyle, watching her grow. Like I said, if you heard my earlier shows, I call her my sister in Vegas. So introduce yourself, my sister in Vegas.
What's up, y'all? It's Anaya. Before we even begin, I have to say, definitely Larry has impacted my spiritual journey for sure. I remember 2019, I reached out to you in the DM. I responded to something, and I think it was about MK Ultra. Mm-hmm. And from that moment on, that kind of had a spark in me to like kind of get back into what I was already researching. So, I mean, from now, I just have to say, like, keep doing what you're doing. And I know you're inspiring so many people, and it's just beautiful to see God just changing your whole life and your journey. So I'm excited.
All right. Well, let's start in 2019. Where were you at 2019 spiritually?
Okay. Well, I have to preface that I grew up as a Jehovah's Witness. So I was born into that, you know? So that's where my spiritual foundation and everything is coming from. And I remember one day when I was at the hall, someone mentioned to me, I was like maybe sixth grade, maybe fifth, sixth grade. Someone mentioned to me the Illuminati. And that's where it all started. So went through down that rabbit hole, of course, as a teenager, and I blocked, for the most part, I canceled all that shit out. Like, as soon as I heard anything about that, I was like, no, I'm cutting this off. And this is me at like 11, 12. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you kind of just get back into the world just because you're growing up, you're a teenager, kind of forced to kind of mesh into that culture. So I would say 2019, when that storm kind of came around, that's when I was trying to really understand. I was taking an African American studies class in school, and I was really just trying to understand where I came from. Mm. And I was thinking maybe I could find that in the scriptures. Mm. So I think that amongst that and the pandemic, kind of all that stuff happening, that was a time for me to kind of sit down, take a step back, and get back into the word and really figure out, you know, who I am, where I come from.
And in your searching, what did you find out?
Well, everything basically kind of leaned back into scripture. I would say that just because I would watch Truth Unedited, and I would you know, read different things about Pan-Africanism and stuff like that and slavery. Just I was trying to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really stuck at him, Shem and Japheth. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how do I really know which one of those that I came from? I mean, people tell me I look Ethiopian all the time, but it's like, dang, am I part of the lost tribe? Like, who? I could be Japheth, you know what I'm saying? My family members is white on my dad's side. Like, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of still lost on that. Mm.
And do you think because of that, you haven't fully grasped the concept of how you should actually walk as far as scripture? Because I know coming into this is, especially at your age and your generation, it's hard to go from having a good time into, okay, we got to be modest, we got to be calm, we got to be cool, we got to be collected. So are you learning it as you go on, or is it, it's become difficult for you because you don't know necessarily where you fit in?
I would say that amongst just detaching myself from the mindset of being a part of that organization, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, I was born into that. So going to assemblies, 3-day assemblies every summer, to always kind of feeling in my heart, like, you know, when I'm reading this material, where is the black people at? Mm-hmm. You know, as a kid, I'm like, isn't Jesus supposed to be in Africa? Like, why are all these depictions of white people? So in the midst of me detaching myself away from that, I'm also I'm afraid to, you know, you care about your family, mm-hmm. you know, so you're afraid to like be that rebel and that black sheep. Unfortunately, I'm the black sheep of the family. I got the mouth. I'm the one who's going to speak up. So, you know, touching that button was really hard for me. So I feel like separating myself and really just being me in this walk, you know, not everybody around me has like that like-minded spiritual guidance and the foundation that I have, I'm seeing more people, you know, come into it, which I'm very, very happy about, even the slightest way. But I can definitely say, just because it's just me and I'm trying to abide by as much as possible, you know, as much as I can. But just doing little baby steps, I'm really trying to get on that path, though, of full out of this world.
Mm-hmm. I feel you, because I peep you. I understand. Like I said before, it's hard for young people in your generation because it's so much. It's just, I get it. It's so much fun. You guys get to enjoy this life, but then you all of a sudden you get hit with law, statutes, commandments. It's really hard to kind of just, okay, I'm going to stop completely what I'm doing and just go do this. Like, I get it. I truly get it. But as a Jehovah Witness, did you have to go door to door? Did you do that too or no?
So that's one thing I can say about this whole thing is that I kind of already was set apart. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I was not at school telling everybody, hey, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. You know, if it came out, I wouldn't lie about it. But it was not a, hey, hi, guys, you know, here's a track. I'm not passing those out, you know. So yeah. On the weekends with my family, yes, I'm door-to-door. I'm going to those conventions. I'm singing. I'm praising songs to Jehovah. I'm listening to Bible tapes. Like, it was really deep like that, like every Sunday type of situation. And I definitely, as a kid, always had a little strife. I mean, the Bible that we had said New World Translation. And as a kid, I just remember being like, that just don't feel right. Like, what you mean New World? What's the old world?
Right.
So, I was definitely going door to door, but I will say I wasn't having birthday parties. I wasn't having Christmas. So I wasn't going, I never dressed up for Halloween. So it was like, I've already been set apart. So I'm like detaching myself even further. Mm-hmm. You know, once I found out about, what's his name? Oh, I just forgot his name. It's the Freemason that made Jehovah's Witnesses. Ooh, I just literally forgot it. But yeah, once I detached myself from that, I felt way, way better. More connected, I would say.
Okay. So in this walk, and I know you got a new job and you doing your thing. You got corporate on me real quick. You got real corporate. So do you feel in this job, you kind of left the childish behavior alone and because you have to obviously focus on your image. You're on TV now. And so everybody's paying attention to you. Do you think that helps you get into this walk a little bit better? Because you said it was a blessing.
Well, yeah, I feel like now more I'm like, okay, I have to graduate. It's so hard. You know, I feel like I'm being pulled one way and pulled the other way. It's like, yeah, I'm still young, but it's like, no, it's business time. And I've prayed and I really have met him halfway. And I really do feel the blessings. And like I said, I was overwhelmed with all these blessings. Like, do I deserve this? What do you mean? I'm a piece of shit. Like, I'm not. Yeah, I am. But then I look back at it like, yeah, you really have been doing it. But I just feel, it's like I want to be humble. I have to be humble. I never want to get too proud and be haughty. That's my fear, is me being too boastful. And he like, yeah, right. You know, I never want to be that way. So I definitely feel like he's telling me like, yeah, it's time to tighten up and laser in and not feel bad about it, really. Not feel bad about it. That's what I'm struggling with.
And so in this walk, what things have you felt you struggled with personally? Mm.
Number one, lust. Mm. Gotta get that out the way. And I feel like I've already done the self-discovery. I've already know where it comes from. But you were saying something a few episodes back, and I was like, ooh, like that's really what I have to do. Mm-hmm. Is you say you can't just like replace, you can't just like go cold turkey. Like, you have to replace that mm-hmm. itch for something else. Mm-hmm. And I will say it definitely, when I read the Bible more, I feel myself becoming more pure. I'm like, I can't even act the same way that I used to, because it don't even feel right. It don't even feel like it's me anymore.
Mm.
So I definitely will say lust. I guess teeter-tottering between, mm-hmm. you know, feet all the way in and feet all the way out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Besides that, I feel like the main one is lust and possibly my own vices.
Mm-hmm. Which is what? What do you think? What do you say what your vices are?
I can't say it on here. Because
you can say it on here.
Okay. I'll say marijuana.
Okay.
And alcohol, but I'm not an abuser either way, but it's still like, you know, I still look at myself in the mirror and you're supposed to do it.
Would you look at it where does it come from? Does it come from stress? Or it comes from anxiety? Does it come from, well, I don't have nothing to do, so I might as well do it. Where does that behavior come from, you think?
You know what? I stopped smoking. At first it was casual. It was, you know, it was the new thing to do. Mm-hmm. But when I put it down, when I started doing this job, definitely the stress throughout the week. The weekends is off for me. Mm-hmm. So I definitely still come from stress.
Okay. And it's the same way. You felt like you have to replace it with scripture, replace it with something spiritual in order for you to stop? Or is this,
yeah.
like, you need that? You need to have weed. You need to have that drink. You need to have that experience.
No, I don't feel like the urges are there. I feel like it's just really like the self-discipline. Mm-hmm. And I guess really having the reason, putting him first as a reason to do it for him. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what I'm struggling with, is like being in the way of myself and just not going to him for all of those things, mm-hmm. instead of finding them elsewhere.
Right, right. So what else do you feel in your personal relationships as far as friends? Do you think you can cut off some friends, or you know that some friends are just going to lead you down a wrong trail, or have that been easy for you just to give up? Because, you know, it seems like you have a lot of friends, and, you know, it's hard to step away from those friends.
Does it look like that? You know, I don't want to be like that, but I guess I've known. I'm not a person who allows other people to dictate, but you can't deny that, you know, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. I have thought about how my friends or my family will react if I just, you know, go, I hate to say balls deep. That's not a good reference for this. if I jump into the deep end and just go all the way. I have thought about that. I have thought about what that means to me and what those relationships means to me and what means more. Obviously, my relationship with the Father means more, but in my flesh, you're like, these are the people who you love. Is he worth dropping everybody for? Hell yeah. Hmm. I have thought about it, but I would say that's something that kind of can hold me back a little bit too.
And where are you at as far as a covering? Or that, I mean, you young, you're not really looking for a covering right now, but are you preparing yourself for a covering?
Listen, I feel like the Heavenly Father is just protecting me real bad. And it's like, dang, like, stop blocking a little bit, you know, but I'm in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. if you didn't know.
Yeah.
So it's not a chocolate city. Mm. On top of that, the male species today, the effeminate man, the sassy man, the needy man, I'm not preparing myself anywhere near that. What I'm really looking for is, I'm trying to be whatever that submissive woman looks like, you know? I'm really here for that. I understand the woman's role is completely different from the man's. Like, mm-hmm. but no one is able to provide that. I feel like where you get the submissive woman is when she's able to trust you with her eyes closed and she could trust while falling back. And she know everything is good. Mm-hmm. Until I find I feel protected around you. I feel like you can provide for me. I feel like you can provide for yourself. I feel like you can provide for our family. I feel like you spiritually, mentally, emotionally, able to take care of all of us. And when you say go left and we go, and I know it's right, I'm going left anyway. Mm-hmm. Until we can get to that, I'm cool.
Okay. And so you're more focused on your career then, until that happens.
Listen, of course I want a man. It's not right. I'm like, this bachelorette thing is not what it is. Not, I'm in here alone. So, right. Of course, you know, you want a man, but I know that everything is pointing to, yeah, don't worry about any of that right now. Mm. You have plenty of time for that, of course, but I mean, definitely want my little cloak, my little covering, my black man to come home to. Yeah, of course. We're just not getting that right now.
And how are you with discipline and obedience? Have you felt the correction from the Most High yet?
Oh, yeah.
Explain to me.
Do you want a sample or do you want, like... I feel like I have felt the Holy Spirit and heard it loud and clear. Hmm. Ever more so since it's just really, I was living at home, so now I'm here in my silence, mm-hmm. and I'm by myself, and I can be one with myself. I hear it even louder, sometimes a little scary. Mm. Like, I know that's not me talking, you know? Like, that's not me. And, you know, sometimes even the voices kind of sound like... Yahusha, his voice is like a homie type of voice. Mm-hmm. Like a brotherly type of voice that I hear. And it's like, okay, all right, I know you're watching. You right here with me all day. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, Yahusha's voice is, all right, I'm cool. I'm going to put that down. You know, mm-hmm. I'll give you an example. This is bad, but I'm an honest person. So, ever since I found out, this is bad, and this is also a sin that I've worked on, and I've let it go. Mm-hmm. You should be proud of me. Mm-hmm. Once I found out that all these corporations was corrupted and that they're putting all their money into these privately owned prisons, I started stealing. I started stealing steak, especially in the pandemic. I was swiping in that little Kool-Aid down. You know, if you know, you know.
Right.
So one day, I was dead broke, and I got my menstrual. I was on my lunch break. I was like, oh my God, no money. Mm. I went in there and I grabbed some pads and I left. Mm. Put the pads on. Soon as I put some pads on, soon as I put those pads on, I got a sensation. Mm. And I wound up getting an infection.
What? So,
it was a scented pad, and that's not going to do us right. Mm. So I said, all right, I'm cool. I hear you. Mm. I hear you loving me. So I feel like he speaks to, you got to really be listening, though, because I could have just been like, whatever, and went back and stole some pads. Or I could accept that lesson that he's trying to teach me and elevate and not do that no more. And I'm done.
Right. And I think that's important because most people, they need to be a part of a community as soon as they come into the truth or when they come into their Holy Spirit. They want to be a part of a community. And that's not how you're going to hear the Most High or hear Yahusha's voice. So you feel being isolated and being alone helps you grow better than being in a group.
Absolutely. Of course, when I first came into my walk, I'm trying to figure out who I am, you know? So Hebrew Israelite and all those type of camps was coming up and I'm looking at it, you know, they got the fringes on. I'm like, oh, okay, the royal purple. I'm thinking, oh, it's just idol and it's just for an image and it's really glorifying themselves. Mm-hmm. And you really can't, I've learned you from what I've been through, from what I've seen, you cannot trust. I don't trust it. I don't want to talk to nobody actually. If me and my sister study, of course. If you want to study with me, of course. Like I'm down for that. But I'm gonna talk to you just so I'm talking to you right now. It's not gonna be like you said, the the Luke, John, Paul, and them. It's not finna be all that. It's let's get to it. Mm-hmm. So no, I don't associate myself with any denomination. I'm denounced religion altogether. Like it's me and the guys. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about it.
Okay. Now you say, of course, I know you lived in Las Vegas. How has that spiritual energy been? Like in the last 2 or 3 years, has it gotten worse, or do you kind of see where this is heading?
I'm glad that you asked that question. I'm born and raised here. And I've seen this city come up just a boom. But I will say when I was a kid, it was more of a town. That energy was in one place. Mm-hmm. A little strip, you know, that's it. Mm-hmm. I will say there is an intensified energy once we got the Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. Once we got the Golden Knights, kaboom. I have felt a big difference for sure. Mm. And it's even worse now. Once we had that Super Bowl, that was crazy. Mm. That was a lot.
Right. Yeah. So were you down there around it? Were you down in the festivities or just to see, or were you working down there?
I was actually working. I was working. I did a watch party. It was literally my first month. I was like my third week on the job. Yeah, go film the players coming from the. I'm like, all right, cool. But I will say, I feel like a double agent of sorts because you inspire me, hands down. Like, there's no question. During the pandemic, and up until maybe a year ago, I was just compiling. Everything, because I wanted to get this out. I'm like, no, I'm sick of being shadow banned. Enough people are not seeing this. I'm trying to tell everybody, you know, like we need to know. And I don't want to say what's called because I still like, well, we want to do it, but it's like, I can't do it like this, you know, like I'm working for the news, so I can't say everything that I want to say if I have this job that I work for, but it's like also I want to go in there and see what's going on,
right?
For us, so we know how to maneuver through all this.
Exactly. And you feel like that's going to be your low key your double agent is seeing it for what it is as far as the facade, and then seeing the behind it to see, okay, this is how they really act, and when the cameras are not on.
Yes, because for so long, I was down. I would say 2020 to 2023, I was just in my head like, they're going to kill me. If I do this, I'm going to die. Like, either I'm going to die or I'm going to, my career, like, which one? Like, I went through a real big battle inside every day. Like, you want to do your show. This is what you're going to school for. This is what you're going to school for? This is what you're going to school for? It was like, so I had to just, you know, change my mindset about it and say, okay, well, maybe since you have this lens, sight to the blind, since you have this lens and you see everything for what it is, maybe you can go in there and get the information that we need to get our people out of this.
Right.
Coming from me, trust me.
And I see you started a podcast, and that's what you talk in your podcast, is being able to see behind the facade and actually educate your generation and seeing things that they don't they see every day.
Yeah, it's hard, you know. I don't care. If it falls on deaf ears, it falls on deaf ears. Somebody's gonna listen. Mm-hmm. And I took from you, I'm sitting at home, any chance. I was sharing your post so much, I was getting shadow banned. I was like, man, it's so annoying. I can't do nothing. Right. Literally, I got my Instagram taken down. It was serious. I commented on your post, and I added that somebody in the comments, and 2 seconds later, mine didn't have a page no more. I was like, oh, It's like that.
Yeah, it's like that.
So, no, but I would be doing my due diligence and posting, and so many people be like, ooh, what's going on? I'm like, oh, yeah. Y'all want to know, let's get into it and open that Bible.
That's good. I'm glad you started to do that work, because now you're getting to do it on both ends, and it's an amazing thing. How are you with your family members? You have a brother or sister?
So I have my sister. She's 4 years apart. It's just me and my sister.
Okay.
My mom, I definitely feel like, well, as I had a stepdad growing up, definitely feel like everything that the Heavenly Father has taken me through is for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
He got me the first. It's something about the firstborn.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're not the firstborn.
Yeah, I'm firstborn.
Firstborn? Oh. Mm-hmm. It's something about the firstborn. Mm-hmm. It's something about the firstborn. I've always had to have my eyes open for both of us. Mm-hmm. So I've been overly intuitive like my entire life. And I'm definitely like sheep of the family, like I was saying earlier, because I have my controversial opinions, but they're most of the time always right. And I'm not just saying that.
Mm-hmm.
they're always right. But I do have a really good relationship with my family. I love my family. Of course, they're all in it. So right. It's just like, for a long time, I didn't want to upset them. And I care, because I'm like, dang, I'm only going to be here for a certain amount of time in my life. Don't want them hitting me for this whole time. You know, they got this fellowship, all this, blah, blah, blah. Not that they're going to do that, but. So we have a great relationship, but I make it a very clear line. No, I'm not coming. I'm not going.
Mm.
Don't invite me. I'm not going to be there.
Mm. And how was their reaction to it? Do you feel that you're going to one day coach them out of that religion? Do you feel like you're going to be that capstone in your family to be like, okay, this is how we're supposed to do things, and this is how we're going to do it?
I'm coming like PowerPoints, lectures, and all that. It's like, I try to do baby step. I started to refer to God as Yahuwah.
Mm-hmm.
My nana thought I was trying to be Muslim. Okay? So it's real baby steps and cookie crumbs and TikTok shares to icing it up. You know, I'm be trying to find my angle. Mm-hmm. There's a few angles I can come at. Do I come at the firmament? Do I come at Ham, Shimmy, and James? Like, you know, it's a few ways that I've been trying to come there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I don't want to give up, right? But it's like, all right. It's like when you're so far gone, it's like, what am I supposed to do?
Right. Like, it's hard to find that, like, that the angle that's not going to offend them, but have their ear open, that they actually pay attention to the information that you give.
Yeah, because I tried with Jasher, and she even know what that. She even knows that that is mentioned in the Bible, but wouldn't give it any time of day, though.
Right. And because it's just because of the religious doctrine that she's already under, she feel like she don't have to listen to anything else.
Oh, absolutely. I had to really come out of that to understand. When people say cult, when people would say that to me as a kid, isn't that cult? No. What do you mean? We just be getting together and going, hanging out at 3-day conventions and eating lunch together and, you know, marrying on each other and stuff like that. You know, it's not a cult though.
Mm-hmm.
So coming out of that, I really, truly don't, I'm not mad at her for thinking that because of the indoctrination. For me, I just always wonder what the hell is going on. Like, how we got a new piece of material coming out every week. But you tell me you don't want to look at Jasher, but they dropping new articles like it's like this the source or something. It's Vibe magazine. Like, why are they dropping it? I'm the help me. Why is there all these different texts?
Mm-hmm.
You know, why are they dropping this it it's a lot. It's a lot with that. So I definitely think it's no escaping it if you've been doing it for so long. But I don't want to give up, though. I don't want to give up.
What do you think is the problem or the issue with the modern woman in your generation? What do you think is the snare and the pits and the downfalls of the women in your generation?
I thought you never asked, Larry. So as a spokeswoman for a modern day millennial, Gen X, whatever you want to call it, woman, I'm a 90s baby. Don't get twisted. So I like to take it back historically. We have to understand when the black man was removed from the household, that switch just went off in the black woman to where she was G.I. Jane, for real, you know? And so with the lack of the black man in the household, who is he looking at as a figure, as a role model? If it's not Lil Wayne, if it's not whoever on the TV, it's their mama.
Right.
If it's not their mama, it's whatever boys is on the block without their mama or their dad. So with that being said, now we're in a time, that trickle-down effect, now we're in a time of, I can do all this by myself, I don't need a man, gimme, gimme, gimme. And because we feel like we've worked so long and because we've worked so hard and because we've seen our mothers do it by themselves, now we like, oh, well, I don't need a blank for blank. What do I need him for? Just sexy red, just F my baby dad.
Right.
What do I need him for? I can have this baby and do it by myself. I don't care if this baby grows up without a daddy. I grew up with that one. I'm just fine. So I really do think, obviously, the problem is we don't have no leaders. Our leaders was all that tradition, all those morals left with our mamas, with my mama. That's gone. They had it. We have it in us, but it's diluted. Of course, some of us old souls around here, it's still around. Don't get it twisted. I do have faith because there will be some family barbecues and picnics. I know there will be some lessons and some can't use your comb, don't bring it home. I know it's going to be there in some households. But as far as the black family unit, it's crooked. It's cracked open. So I unfortunately have to blame it on that. And that's just, this is a side effect of where we're at today. Because we didn't correct that, because we didn't have that press on our generation's head, we can't give it to the next one. So the latchkey kids, thank you. Y'all were supposed to turn it around for us. But no, that's where you're going.
And you feel accountability is one of those setbacks. That's how we can rebuild, is if we actually take accountability for our actions and stop trying to compare ourselves, apples and oranges, with the opposite sex. And that's the way we can grow. How do you feel about that?
Oh, you hit it right on the head. Because it's enough for, now we know why. We all know why. We all know why we act this way. We understand that. So what now? What now? Are we going to start dressing different? Are we going to start behaving ourselves like the woman we want to be treated as? Are we not going to accept less? I forgot. You had just said something about, what was the last thing you said?
About the accountability. We take accountability for our actions, and that's how we can actually heal and grow and not compare each other from apples and oranges. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sick of that too. I'm sick of the black man, black woman, let's fight each other. I'm sick of that. Like, let it go. Who will it be? It's got to be us. I'm being honest with you. It's not going to be the man. It's going to be the woman who have to get back in our place. And if the men, once we get back into our place, I think they'll come back into their place. But I will also say this. I also think that the over masculinity with the woman, obviously we know, though, we already know what powers that be are pushing that. We know that. I think sometimes I feel like the over masculinity with the women, want to be rah-rah, want to do it by ourselves, it's a cry for help.
Yes.
It's a cry for help. Yes, I'm gonna carry all the groceries up the stairs. Look at me. You know, I think it's the cry for help. It's basically saying like, I'm trying to do this all by myself. I want you to do it. Mm-hmm. I don't need you. My sense of pride says I don't need you, but I'm carrying all this by myself. Mm-hmm. It's a cry for help. It's a cry for help. We obviously need y'all.
And so that's a little bit of a pride and ego thing that y'all also have to reconcile with yourselves and actually ask for help, knowing that you need help. Is we all grew up with those Black mothers be like, when she carried a bag, she's like, y'all gonna be wishing, y'all be glad I'm gone because I'm gonna be doing this by myself. Like, we always had that mom that gave us that passive aggressive tone as if she didn't need help, but we know that she wanted help. I think we have to recognize that in our women, that the times they do act very haughty or very high-minded, that is, it is like you said, as a cry for help for us to bring that softness, that femininity out of them so they can relax a little bit and allow us to handle the workload. So with that said, but we're talking about the woman, how is it when men aren't coming into their masculinity? How does that affect you?
I ain't got no man, Larry. Hang on, man. I'm sick of it. I'm through. I'm cool. I'm like, at this point, I'll take a 50-year-old because at least I know he's a man, and at least, you know, he grew up in a generation where he didn't have to paint his fingernails to get. It's so sickening. I'm sick of it. And I'm just looking back. I seen it happening. I'm like, ever since I knew Hyde Obama, I knew once he did that gay thing, the rainbow gates flew open. Right. And it's like, y'all don't want us to be here no more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's just all be gay. Mm-hmm. And then nobody had no kids. We're already having the babies without no daddy.
Right.
So you want them to have two daddies? We barely got a one. So y'all want a two for the price of one? The effeminate agenda is flooding, and I'm sick of it because it's almost like contagious. Mm-hmm. It's almost contagious. It's almost like 1 out of 10 men is real great at AB, mm-hmm. and everybody else tuna.
Right.
Like, it's definitely affecting just the regular dating life. I mean, I kind of just missed when I was like 16 and everybody was straight.
Right.
Now it was one gay over there.
Now it's like everybody is not necessarily gay, but they're kind of condoning it through comedy. Like, if you see people putting fingernail polish on it, we're not getting upset at that. We're not seeing Shaq or Dwayne Wade or any other guys who are celebrities painting their nails. We're not mad at that. We're laughing at it. So it comes, it's somehow we're easing ourselves into it with laughter.
I'm sick of that too, because there's not no, when we gonna be done with the minstrel show?
Right.
When we gonna be done with the minstrel show? But y'all wanna be so far gone, but we right here. Ain't nothing changed. Mm-hmm. The change just got a little gold on it now. PBS.
So how do you feel what's going to eventually come? Do you feel that's going to be a hard reset when people actually start seeing this world crumble at their doorstep? Do you feel that's going to be the hard reset that we need to actually come into our masculinity or come into our femininity? If we see things at our front doorstep falling down all around us, you feel that's what's needed for us to wake up?
It's not going to be until something drastic happens and it's on some we shall overcome or hate to be like this. When half the world is clear, when half of the Black people are all light-skinned and they say, dang, we want our babies to have a tan and the white people are darker than us, maybe they'll say, maybe we should work this out. Maybe we need a two-parent household. Maybe us as a Black family unit does make sense. They might do it when it gets trendy, or if they start advertising it, or maybe if these celebrities influence them, because you know that'll get them. That'll get them. Right. If Black is the new white, and oh baby, African Bambaataa and all that. Mm-hmm. We should overcome. Everybody put that Afro back on, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I doubt it. I doubt it. It had to be something real drastic, like some type of Negro reparations. You can only get this money if you date me.
Yeah. I can see that. That's almost basically what being an Israelite is. Like you feel that sense of pride at that heritage, your heritage, and you start. But you can't come to this promised land if you don't act right. So people start acting right when they find out America ain't really for them like they thought it would be.
I definitely think people have to see their gain. People have to see what they will benefit from that.
Right.
I think a lot of people of them, listen, people think that Jesus and God is the same guy.
Right. It's not.
Let's start there. Mm-hmm. You know, so for them to be able to connect the dots of, shoot, just start at y'all. We was kings. You know, just start at that. You mm-hmm. know, right. If they start to develop that sense of pride. I mean, because I guess seeing us in the shackles and, because, you know, where most of our education, when we start, we ain't talking about no Africa. They start us, boom, right there on that boat. You know, as soon right. as we get here, that's who we are. Mm-hmm. Until you learn later, oh, you know. So until we get into that, connecting the dots there, I doubt it.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Ooh, where do I see myself in 5 years? I definitely want to have grown my platform. I want to get my show syndicated, hopefully. And be with a major news outlet. Something small, though. I'm not trying to go crazy. I don't want to be Rachel Maddow. I still want to be me. I don't want no integrity, change, nothing like that. I'm old school, regular, runaway girl who just happened to be on the news. Mm. You know, you might see me. But I definitely want to have a house. Hey, maybe I just got pregnant. Who knows? Maybe I have a husband. You know? Mm-hmm. Definitely within my career and just having enough abundance to take care of my family and enough reach to really be on my double agent, like, look at the back door, I got that, you need that, I got that for you. You know, I want to be able to educate a lot more people in this, for sure. That's where I see myself.
So you don't feel like you're in fear of anything? Like, you're not scared that when this system falls, like, you by yourself, you got to go get a gun. Do you have to protect yourself? You don't feel that that's a necessity for you right now?
Yeah, you're right. I didn't think about it like that. You know what? I was up here cooking the other day, and you know how you just be having scenarios in your head? Mm-hmm. I was thinking, man, if he come back right now, I'm going to sit right here and wait for him. That's how I'm set up. He going, hey, it's going to be all right. I'm working on, like, I don't want to say faith, but faith versus knowing. Like, I feel like faith for me right now is, like, I want to say it's unwavering, but it's just, like, it's still shaky. You're nervous. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to know about me. And again, not being cocky, but just thick, thin, wrong, right, I feel like he still got me. Mm-hmm. If I need to learn this lesson, I need to learn this lesson. You know, so I'm not really walking in this walk afraid, because I'm going to just give it to him. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to let him have it. And if it's not in my favor, it still is, because he says so. Mm. But as far as though as where the world is going, no, I know I need to get my little generators and my water. Mm. But I mean, it would be nice to have a covering. Like you said, I want a canopy and a house and a covering and all that.
Mm, I feel you. But I feel like right now is that you're in a perfect situation to learn, one, to learn about this media world, two, to see the backside of it so you can help and educate others. And then three, you're growing in your faith, which means you're going through all the necessary steps to be tested and making sure you're solid. So once you get that covering, you're not annoying him by being scared all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what me is trying to just be knowing and not be. Cause I said to myself, like, why are you stressing out? Why are you being unsure? That's showing lack of faith. That's showing, all right, I'm just gonna know. Mm-hmm. You got it. I got it. We good. instead of being like teeter-tottering or scared. I'm just trying to work on, we so locked in, I don't even need to worry about that. That's kind of how I feel when you done broke the gematria down way too many times for me to think anything is real, okay? Anything happened, you got me looking at the drive-bys around the corner a little weird. Like, what's the day today? Like, I'm like, what's the date today? I knew it. that's really how I see things. Once you put the glasses on, that's it. Like, it's that's it. And like I said, when I was a kid, I was already filtering myself, like, you know, doing my little Illuminati Unchained, Explain, all that, you know, on a smaller level. But I was already, oh no, we cool.
Have you did any feast days yet? Have you done your first Passover yet, or you haven't fully learned like when the day and all that is?
I wanted you to ask me about this too. I be feeling bad that, yes, I can read it in the scripture, but I be feeling bad that, like, I be feeling like if I do it, I don't, and it wouldn't be for show. It wouldn't be for show. I wouldn't be on Instagram. Like, you know, I mean, even if I get it, cool. But I just feel like, am I worthy of that? Am I in my walk where I can do that? Is this too early? You don't know everything. You ain't read the whole thing. Like, so I'm just trying to make sure I don't do nothing wrong. And am I worthy to do this? When I do understand. Of course I understand. I'm reading the text. I spiritually understand. But am I fully immersed in this to feel like, oh yeah, I'm doing this right? Or I'm just going through the motions, rather. So trying to get on that calendar, trying to figure that out, man. I really want to do it, though.
Well, I would say this. I'll give you some comfort in this. When I first started out, I was doing the Passover on the wrong day. I was on the wrong week. And then every year when I kept going back, I kept improving. That's how we do in this walk. Once you start your first Passover, it's never going to be 100% correct. But when you do it every year and you just push more, you start understanding, okay, the first time I did it, I was eating pizza. I was eating leavened bread, pizza. And you're not supposed to be eating leavened bread. So then I started drinking beer. I said, you can't have beer because it has yeast in it. So it's like every year I was cutting things out and then actually getting it right and getting the dates right. So I would say you're already prepared. You're ready. You're ready to start your first mission of actually trying to do it right at each time. So once you build up, you build that understanding up and you feel better. Plus, it's supposed to humble you to make you feel like you said, high-minded, feel like, oh, I know all I'm doing right now. I'm doing it the right way. And then he got to sit you down. I'm like, no, you ain't doing it the right way. So as long as you're trying and pushing one step in front of the other and trying to do your first Passover, I think you'll catch on fairly easy.
Yeah, I'd be excited about it. I think about it more than you know. Like, I'd be like, dang, how am I going to get my family involved in this? I want them to be like, okay, so we never celebrated any holidays, but why are we going to do this? It's not just a little bit of a thing. It's not just something. And I asked my nana, I did, because I was trying to sneak it in. She's like, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. The Levites took care of that. And just kind of explained to me that we don't have to do that anymore. He died for us. So we don't have to partake in that anymore. I'm like, okay. Well, I mean, he's trying to get crunk too. I mean, obviously, the devil is just a mockery and just copycat the biggest one of them all. And he has these celebrations. He has these holidays. So why can't we have our little turn up feast where we just eat and do the electric slide up in here in the name of the Heavenly Father? Like, come on, why can't we do that? So maybe that's a good way to get the family involved without me seeming like a Hotep Hebrew Muslim Israelite.
Right.
And that's what she thinks.
I think that's good. Like, you're thinking exactly how I think. You have to kind of, I wouldn't say trick our people into it, but you have to bring some fun. You got to bring some funness into it so they can just like, all right, let's do it.
You got to give them a reason. Black people, something about us with I don't know if it's the music and the food.
But yeah.
It's them things. I hate to trick you, but get in that tent.
Right. Right. It's simple. That's all it is. Like, look, just come on, bring the boombox. If you know, bring your play your old school playlist. Bring some food, and we'll do this for 14 days. And you know, let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens. Like, you can't tell me y'all not trying to do the Jubilee year. Like, let's do that.
Right. So, what would be your advice for young sisters in your position who are still new to this walk, still trying to come out of this world, and actually trying to hold down a career that goes, you know, back and forth of how you want to live in this walk? What would be the advice you have for young sisters in your position?
My advice would be, the first thing I would say, if you are conflicted, that's a good thing. If you are conflicted, it's a good thing, because your spirit is pure, clearly. Your spirit wants you to do the right thing. You don't want to do, you don't want to disappoint the Father. So that's in you. So listen to that and go understand it. No matter how long it takes, don't dwell on it for too long. But definitely go understand why you feel that way. It's okay to let all these people go for him and his son. Because what haven't they done for you? You know? Also feel worthy enough to receive the blessings, even when you feel like you don't. Easier said than done. I'm still working on that. But I do have that advice. And also, it don't matter how it looks. Just get to him. Well, actually, I'm going to take that back. Because don't be pulling out no crystals, like the new age. Like, let that go. Right. If you feel like you have to do anything outside of saying amen, it's not it. You're strifing yourself and you're blocking your blessings. So that's something I would say, is block your blessings. But what I mean by saying it doesn't matter how it looks, I mean, you don't have to sit here and talk about Yahuwah and Yahawashah like, these I vow. No, have these conversations, because the first three pages of Genesis already was wild. Mm-hmm. Okay. You need to start looking at this as a historical text and stop thinking of it as a religion. Mm-hmm. There's no religion in this. I never seen Christianity in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But what we're so hopped up on, oh, I want to watch Power, or I want to watch, I don't know, whatever BS is on TV. I want to watch Baddies. I want to watch all this. Have y'all not read the first three pages when Lot, with his daughters? Like, start there. Humanize it. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all not really reading it, because if y'all knew what's going down in this book, y'all would have read this like it was an R. Kelly book or something. You know? So I would say read the text, like, in your own mind. And my advice is, if you're just getting into your walk, it is kind of hard to read it, because you got to really not just read it. You got to read that for understanding. Read it for what it's saying. And then, like, meditate on what it said. Because you can find yourself just reading it, but you might walk away and be like, it can go right over your head a lot. But, you know, Yahusha, he talked in pictures. So you really got to visualize it. And like I said, take it for what it's saying and take what you can from it. So I would say the audiobooks on YouTube or wherever, listening to it really helped me a lot. In the morning, I listen to the audiobooks of the Bible, as well as Sight to the Blind podcast once a week. I listen to it throughout the week. That one episode would be getting me through it. I was like, ooh, what you say? But yeah, and last one is, you can't trust everything. And even the text says that when the time is near and we're in the end times, a lot of information is going to come out. Mm-hmm. But not everything is right. So just go and check it. Go and check it. Go and pray on it. If you feel like you want to deep dive into that, definitely do. But just know where it's coming from, and then go to the Father to verify that this is real. Verify this is coming from him. Because you will masquerade as an angel of light.
Sis, you blew me away. I'm so, so proud of you. I remember 2019, 2020, sis said she was in this truth. She was trying to learn. But she was out there partying, shaking, and doing all that. It's been a joy. It's been a real joy. It's been a real joy to see you mature, blossom, and come into this walk. I didn't know how this conversation was going to go, but I'm actually proud of you, sis. I really am, because I knew your heart was there. It was just getting you on track and getting you on that path. I think this job that you got really pushed you up there. It really gives you a lot of responsibility, especially with your image. And you really changed. To me, you changed from night and day. Like before, you would just be partying. Now it's like, sis got her corporate on, like she's like, all of that. So hey, I'm really proud of you. This, yeah, you really, right. Right. Like,
but I'm corporate now.
Mm-hmm. Real corporate. So I'm really proud of you, sis. Just keep building, keep going. And I know those trials and tribulations are going to come, but you seem to have a strong sense of spirit, strong sense of faith that you, like you said, is unwavering. And I'm understanding that more and more as we have these conversations. So I can't wait to have you back on the show after you get through your first two Passovers to see where you're at.
Yes, please invite me. I will have to say, man, this is an honor. Like, I've always thought about getting on the show. Ever since you started, I was watching it. I remember, I think it got canceled for a little bit.
Right.
Then it stopped for
a while. Yeah, it stopped for a while.
Oh, man, it tried to shut you down. But Twitter is where I first seen you. I was like, Larry Johnson saying all this? Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram, and I'm like, oh, you're playing games. And I love to see your elevation. Like I said, you inspire me. I love to see your elevation with the music and the graphics. I was like, oh, he be having time. I'm here. This is a source for real. So, listening, just know it's very genuine with this man. He's not steering us the wrong way, and I just love your. I relate to you so much just because of your approach. I'm very much the same way. Like we not joking around here.
Right.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. So, thank you so much, Larry.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm gonna have you back on. I definitely gotta have you back on to get an update from you.
Yeah, I want an update episode. Maybe I'll have my covering. Who yes. knows, though?
Yes, who knows? God, y'all willing.
Oh, and hold on, shout out to you because, okay, I know you gotta go. But I will say this. This is my personal opinion. I don't know if I said it. Listen, last shorty, nah, I'm feeling that. Who's shorty? I'm feeling that.
I appreciate it. I see you, sis.
Equally yoked, for sure. Yes. Once you yes. said the protection. I was like, when you said the Eastern Star, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, this ain't going to go well.
I check you out, sis.
All right. Wait.